CJMQ, and today we're talking with Yannick Doughty. And very exciting, he's come back from another trip, and he's going to be having a presentation, The Children of the Amazon Project. That will be at Bishop's, on the campus of Bishop's, in the Bishop's William Hall, Johnson Building 200. That's this Thursday, April 21st, 5:30 p.m., and it's a free talk. So, welcome, Yannick.
Thank you.
Okay, tell us about your latest project.
So I recently came back from Colombia, and basically the project, I had gone there to deliver humanitarian supplies, mainly mosquito nets and hammocks to children that were basically being held hostage in a conflict zone there. There's a large conflict going on with the armed forces, revolutionary forces of Colombia, who are basically holding that entire region hostage because of the conflict, and these kids are victims, innocent victims. There's quite a few problems. One of the big problems is that often these kids get lured into joining and becoming child soldiers. And the idea of the project was to really go there and try to sort of address this at the root, because they don't get taken by force. They're usually lured by promises of a better life, of a place to sleep, food to eat, and so on. So by providing them with hammocks and mosquito nets and just improving their living conditions, I was hoping to make a difference that way. Most of these kids actually slept on the floor in a school, and they couldn't go back home because it was too dangerous. So at least now they would have a place to sleep.
Yeah, it makes a big difference to them. People don't realize, but it's a huge difference to them to be off the floor sleeping.
Oh, it is. It is. And the conditions, and I've really lived through them during my expedition, but the conditions in the Amazon are horrible. It's so dangerous. So many risks by just being on the floor sleeping. I mean, I couldn't have slept on the floor when I was there. Just full of, deadly bugs and snakes and anything you can imagine. So plus the health aspect, sleeping on the same place where people walk, and where and when you don't have sanitary infrastructure and so on, it is very, very dangerous as well, and they have a lot of diseases because of that.
I would imagine. You went down the tributary with your canoe, and that was when did you do this, Yannick?
That was in January.
In January.
Yeah, okay. I started in December and finished in January. Yeah.
Okay.
Overall, the idea was start sort of about 2 weeks away from the school, and then I canoed down one of the tributaries to the Amazon called the Vaupés River. So I went down that for about 10 days to reach the school, and then I continued another about 4 days in total after that to reach the border with Brazil.
Okay, so pretty exciting, and they were excited to see you too, because they'd seen you before. And
They were actually, well, it was a bit funny, because getting there, they I thought people would be expecting me, because I had set up this project but it's like everybody was surprised that I actually made it. So I didn't get a big reception on the day that I arrived, but afterwards, people really, when people started hearing around in the community and stuff that I hadn't arrived, and then I started getting a real big welcome, and everybody was so amazed. I mean, I guess because of what I had done, like actually going on the river and traveling the way they travel there, because there are no roads. That entire province doesn't have a single road. It's a very, very remote place, very, very poor. When they heard that I had actually gone down their river, and there's a lot of beliefs to their religious, spiritual beliefs about the river, how sacred it is and all that. For me to have sort of done that was like a rite of passage in a way, and it was like I often get in many of my trips, because of the way I travel, I get that kind of respect from people, and that's really, really amazing. And that I find, doing any kind of other humanitarian work or aid would be hard to get, when people arrive with planes and, white people dropping off supplies, or doing, arriving in their big jeeps with their, people always will see a kind of big difference between, they want to relate, and they're usually pretty wary of that kind of help. And I find that's one of the beautiful things about my projects, is at least that's what I get from the people that I meet over there, is that kind of respect that I wouldn't want to do this without.
Okay, exactly, because you're doing it on their level. You're traveling the same way they do.
Yeah, that's it.
Any narrow escapes this time?
It was very, you know, it's hard to explain, and I will try during the presentation as well, mm-hmm. when I talk about it and stuff, but it's hard to explain the sort of the state of mind and the danger that is there while I'm doing these kinds of expeditions. You know, I can come back and show pictures and talk about it, usually, you know, it always turned out fine for me, so I always come back and it's fine. But while I'm there, there is a real danger there all the time. When I'm sleeping at night, when I'm, you know, I have to be careful about every little thing I do. The place that I choose to sleep, mm-hmm. the way I make the fire, the fact that I have to stop as soon as I'm done cooking, I cut the fire because I don't want the light during the night so people could spot me. Okay. I can't break branches because that makes too much noise, so I have to pick a branch from the floor. I have to look for footprints or footprints in the mud when I dock my boat on the side of the, to see if anybody walked there or not. If there is a footprint, I don't stop there. It takes me about an hour or more to actually find a spot. And then there's all, above all that, you have, you know, you have to be careful about the animals and where to actually set up camp. And even the smallest thing, they have something there called the Congo ant. It's the largest ant in the world.
Oh, okay.
And a bite from that ant is like a scorpion sting. So it's that dangerous. And that's one ant. So you can imagine, I mean, if you have to look for individual ants, mm-hmm. When you're, I mean, there's so many things to take into account. It's hard to actually explain. And then, you know, of course, the whole conflict happening. About a month after I came back, there was a man that I met there who was working in health, who was very scared while I was there of going back up the river. Basically, the way I came down, he was supposed mm-hmm. to go back up to go mm-hmm. treat some people on that river using a motorboat, so sort of going back up the river. He was very afraid of doing that because he knew that region was very, had a lot of, because of the conflict and so on, mm-hmm. was very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, he ended up going, and he was caught by the FARC, by the rebels.
Okay.
And they let him go in the end because he emailed me, but it was, he decided to leave after that. So he actually stopped working there, and he traveled back to his hometown, close to the capital city in Colombia. So he left that region, and that happened a month. I mean, that happened a month after I left. He took the exact same route I basically took on the other mm-hmm. way around, and he was caught, you know. So so the danger was real, and it was there. And there were some few close calls. I mean, I remember at some point, this was afterwards, but in a region I had traveled with the a health like a sort of medical mm-hmm. doctors to a remote region using a little plane, but it was still all in the same area. And we were walking in the jungle, and we saw footprints and very fresh. And okay. they analyzed the footprints, and they told us it was from the FARC, from the rebels. So like they had just walked through. Basically, we were following their footsteps. So they were always around. You know, I was never knowing where they were, and so quite stressful sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, you've been on a lot of adventures. Would you say this is probably the most dangerous yet, or?
It's hard to evaluate, but definitely mm-hmm. Up there with the most dangerous. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Good. Now, you raised money for the hammocks and the mosquito nets, different projects before you went. So mm-hmm. Now you're giving a talk on Thursday, April 21st on the campus of Bishops. And what can we expect from the top? Are there pictures too?
Yes, so I will show. Basically, it's, you know, I like to, whenever people donate to my projects, I always, you know, follow it up.
Right.
I always want to make sure that people know where their money goes. And, mm-hmm. you know, I always guarantee that every cent goes to the cause. And so I want to show that what actually happened with that money. And so basically, I will talk about my expedition itself. I'm going to talk about the conflict there a little bit. About, you know, everything that I was talking about here, you know, how my days were and stuff during the expedition, but more importantly, what happened with the money, you know, the mosquito nets, pictures of the kids mm-hmm. sleeping in hammocks, and, you know, kids that before were sleeping on the ground, so just to see the concrete difference, and talk a little bit about that, answer people's questions about anything like that. And I will also present my next project, which is a project in Haiti that I'm starting, that I just launched last week. So I'm gonna present that and offer people to help.
That's well, exciting. Okay. Yeah. Do we get to learn a little bit about that project before?
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to be starting a school in Haiti. A small school. So this is just the preliminary phase. I just met the kids 2 weeks ago. I was in Haiti and I met the kids. I'm basically going to try to build a little school for 50, destitute children in Haiti who don't have access to school, who are not going to school right now. So it's very much the beginning of the project. Right now, I'm just looking for funds to buy school supplies and uniforms and school bags and so on. And then eventually, I'm going to make some more fundraiser. I'm going to cycle around the island and fundraise to actually do more with the school. But right now, with the preliminary phase, it's just basically equipping the kids and the mm-hmm. school that we have with school supplies. All the information about that is on my website.
So. Okay, and your website again?
It's postcardsfromtheedge.ca. Okay. So all in one word, postcardsfromtheedge.ca.
Great website. You can learn all about your adventures.
Yeah.
Now, I know that the talk is free, but if somebody wants to donate, or are there any copies of any pictures or videos or anything like that?
What I will do is at the end of the talk, I'm going to offer if anybody wants to help out. Again, every single cent that's donated will go directly to the cause, and this will go to buy school supplies for the kids in Haiti.
Okay.
So people will be able to donate, and what they get in exchange is a picture of the child that they helped on their first day of school. So in September, the school, I'm planning on starting it in September. So the people will receive a picture of the child that they helped, either with the school bag they bought or the uniform they bought or something like that. And I also accept anything, any kind of school supplies that I can bring myself to the kids. Because, I mean, you can donate $10 for me to buy a bag, or you can give me a bag. Same thing for me. So the point is that the child will have a bag.
And it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people are going to really, really like that—a picture of the child with the school bag or the uniform, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's so real, so concrete. I found, now I'm working in the humanitarian sort of field and development work and so on. I see a lot of big NGOs so many things look so complex to accomplish, but really, you can also, when you do things like this, like very down to earth and very grassroots, you can accomplish a lot with very little, and that's what I always focus on. That's what I try to do.
No, it's certainly an example of one person can make a difference.
Yeah, with the support of a community. Yeah. Yes.
That's wonderful. So every time you go on an adventure, you do something like this, are you kind of driven to do more, I guess?
Yeah, always. And it's always the support of the people, the feedback that I get, all that encourages me all the time. I mean, I couldn't do it without the support of everybody I have behind me. This includes from my parents to friends to the community that comes to my talk and that supports my project and so on. On my own, I couldn't do much. They're the ones who buy the hammocks. They're the ones who buy the mosquito nets, who buy the school supplies, who give me the money for that. I just deliver,
Yeah. Oh, definitely, though, but how you deliver.
Yes.
Not everybody could do that or want to do that, really. Okay, so that comes up on Thursday, April 21st, your talk, 5:30 p.m., Bishop's William Hall. That's in the Johnson Building. That's easy to find. And if you can't find it, everyone's more than helpful around the campus there to help you find that. And anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I'll encourage people to come to the talk, and especially if you've contributed to the project, if you bought a hammock or mosquito net, so that you can see what difference you actually made. And for the others, if you just want to know more about it, everybody's welcome. It's free, and also you can learn about the project in Haiti, which is a project that's very, very dear to me. I'm gonna explain during the presentation, but those kids really, really need this. So if you can come out and support it, that would be great.
That sounds great. Really exciting. Well, we thank you very much and wish you all the luck again.
Thank you.